episode 351. None of this negative shit, all right? All the other podcasts are going to give you the dire, the facts, the numbers, none of that. We talk Iowa football for 2 or 3 minutes in this podcast. It's at the end. Otherwise, we're talking all good vibes. Good times. Hang with me and Kevin. Have a laugh. Be entertained. You guys know what it is. Let's have a day. Let's go. Welcome in to episode 351 of the show. I'm not Drake, so I'm not doing an intro. There's no cool intro. Kevin, what's up? How we doing?
How we doing, Kluby?
Just another day without Drake. Great day.
Good day, and you're wearing washed up walk-ons gear. I don't know if you have anything else in your wardrobe besides old Iowa issued gear and washed up walk-ons gear and Rogue. Do you own anything else?
Yes, but it's limited. It's very limited.
Okay, some Lululemon stuff too.
Definitely a couple items. A few other like sort of bougie fitness-ish brands, Built, stuff like that. This shirt I've worn for probably the last 4 shows, and it's just because it's the shirt I rotate one shirt about every week, and I only wear it during our shows. I don't wear it during the day.
You put on a shirt just for the show.
Well, yeah, I can't just be flashing the nips.
Well, I'm just saying, like, you're wearing a different shirt, and then you put on a shirt specifically for the show.
Oh, no, I don't. So when you work at home for the Washed Up Walk-Ons and Tyler Kluver Fitness, shirts are optional. So you walk into my household, if you ever find me, for anyone listening out there, you're not going to find me in very many clothes at all.
Which I respect. I mean, let's be honest. Yeah, we didn't wear very many clothes back on Benton Street.
The amount of clothing that I wore on Benton Street is the same amount of clothing that I wear every day while I'm working.
That's fair.
Yeah. So this shirt sits down here, like hangs over the bike handle, and then I just throw it on so that I look just like a step higher on the presentable scale. But yeah, we're back. We're going to review. We're going to preview Nevada tonight. We're not going to talk because I've seen a lot of things on. By the way, I ripped an applesauce before this. Just a kid's squeeze applesauce right before this. Just shotgunned it. A little pregame action. So I'm rearing and ready to go. We're going to preview Nevada tonight. We'll give you our DRF walk-on collab boost of the week. Picked by Kevin this week. So you can't shit on me. Drake and Kevin can't shit on me this week.
Well, we can. Just not about the pick.
That's true. Drake can't. I'm going to shit on Drake for a second, actually. So as everyone knows, this is show number 2 or 3 without him of the regular show. And he is planning on that for the entire season unless this offense finds life, I suppose. And then he'll be back. So he drastically decreases his responsibility from 3 shows a week to 1, and then texts me and Kevin 20 minutes before this podcast and says, hey, I'm finally getting better internet at my house out here in the middle of nowhere, Queen Creek, Arizona, and I'm expensing it to the company.
Right after. Right after. Declining his responsibilities by 70%.
Yes.
2/3. You guys do 3 shows a week. He's not coming to 2 of them anymore.
Just got his work cut into thirds. And now he decides that we're paying for his internet. Not I, but we. So interesting move, right? He likes to talk about how I'm the dickhead, how I'm the asshole who's you know, using all the money. You know, we'll just let it be what it is. We'll just let reality speak for itself.
Hey, so, man, I'll take a handout. If Washed Up Walk-Ons LLC is giving out handouts, I'll take a handout.
I don't know if we're giving out handouts.
Sounds like you are.
I wasn't planning on it.
So you gonna say no?
What do you need a handout for? Your internet?
Hey man, if we're paying internet bills here, I've got an internet.
Jesus Christ, we just went broke because now we're paying for everybody's internet.
Yeah,
we could pay for your internet, I suppose. At least you're still showing up for the same amount of work, maybe more, now that we're in the season.
It's in season, so in season, Kevin comes to play.
And we appreciate it. How's work today?
Busy, man. Busy day.
You're busy?
Oh, yeah.
Is there ever a time when you're not busy?
Every now and then, yeah. You have light days where you just stuff's quiet, man.
Bo called in at the end of the live show yesterday.
No, he did not. Really.
Yeah, he did. Just for a quick second, it didn't get like too crazy or anything. But he's, I was like, "How you doing, Bo? Like, what? Like, dude, I miss you. What's going on?" He's like, "Oh, I'm just living that Kevin Ward life, just running around selling shit."
Big like, Bo's yeah. He's probably due for a promotion right about in the next couple months or so.
That wouldn't surprise me. He said at the end, he goes, "Hey, if you maybe if you want, I'll hop on here every once in a while if Drake isn't going to be on it."
Oh, dude, hell yeah.
And I was like, absolutely. Come on. Be the fourth walk-on. Bo was the walk-on.
He was a walk-on. Do you remember when, like, we first started doing the show, like the first 10 episodes or so? Like, he was in the group chat?
Was he really?
Yeah.
I think I do remember that.
And then we did one episode with him. That was back when we were using that old system. And it was a great episode. And then it just like you couldn't download it or something.
Oh, it got completely like corrupted.
Right. Exactly.
Man, that's sad. Bo could have been a part of this whole thing.
You want to kick Drake out and add Bo?
Oh, decent idea. Decent idea.
Not the worst idea I've ever.
The funny part is this is a completely public podcast and will go out to thousands of people who are currently listening. And Drake won't know until someone tells him on the Discord. Like, hey, they're talking about kicking your ass out of the company.
I mean, he might not know if you don't pay his internet bill, he might not ever find out. we might be in the clear here, man. We just got to stop answering his texts and then boom.
Just excommunicate him from the entire... Just not even respond to him when he texts with the Benton chat. Which, by the way, the Benton chat / Benton Instagram thread, the stuff that gets sent in there is truly unbelievable. Like, it's amazing.
The way I would describe it is if you've ever watched South Park, and it's the when the boys write the Tale of Scrody McBoogerballs book. So it's along the same lines of smut and vulgarity.
Yes, 100%. Stuff that we would be canceled for, no doubt. Okay.
I'm tired. I'm ready to get canceled. I'm tired. Just cancel me.
I'm ready, man.
Just send me off to a cabin in the woods, away from society, to be shunned.
Put me in my fucking grave. I get, believe it or not, I get a similar feeling. I don't know how you feel about it. I know Drake clearly feels some way about it because he decided not to show up. For me, there are times on this podcast, and I'll be honest, this week has been one of those times where the motivation to come down and flip the camera on and talk about Hawkeye football, you know,
just ain't there.
It's like, how much more can I say? You know, how soon am I going to have to start storytelling and just making shit up? You know?
I mean, you really think about it. We say a lot of the same shit over and over.
Over and over. But then I realized too that I'm like, oh, fuck, this is a decent source of income for me, and I get to podcast and work in my underwear every day. And so then I remember the pros of the pro con chart, and I'm like, oh, okay, go turn on the podcast, buddy. You're living a better life than everybody.
Yeah. So what you're just describing is I know this is probably a foreign concept to you, but this is someone with a job. who just doesn't want to go to work. And so they're like, oh, but I'd rather pay my mortgage and keep my house this month.
Well,
welcome
yeah,
to the 99%, buddy.
Thank you, Kevin. I appreciate you welcoming me here. Yeah, no, I fully understand that that most people feel that. I am fortunate that the two things that I do career-wise right now, at least, the vibe and feeling that I have inside of me, rarely, I'm talking 1% of the time, dips into that space of, oh, this feels like work. You know, they always talk about, you know, do what you love and monetize it or whatever. Well, I'm literally doing that. And I feel just absolutely one in a million fortunate. But even then, I think a lot of people on the outside would think that it would never feel like a job. Like, I bet people look at us, Kev, and go, God, I would kill to have a podcast and like make it and have a brand and make money off of it and be able to donate and all this cool stuff that we've done. And so we got to remember that when, or I do, because it really is an unbelievable McAfee always hashtags dumbest life ever. And I really feel like on a lower level, I'm living that dumbest life ever. So,
well, McAfee is making more money now than he made in the NFL.
Way more.
We're making more money now than we made in college. So, you know, we're basically the same person, right?
True. True. I think we could have monetized those pizza reviews, though.
Should we just start doing them again?
Somebody said the other day, somebody sent me a one of the former rowers from Iowa during our time who had me on Snap was like,
I remember this person
sent me a Portnoy's review of Airliner.
We never did Airliner.
Right. And she goes, real Hawkeyes will remember who started the Iowa City pizza reviews. And it's true.
It is true.
It brought back so many memories, and we never did Airliner. We, you know, there's probably still 5 or 10 places that we hadn't hit.
I mean, I think we got through 15 or so.
Right? I would say 15, maybe, yeah. Maybe climb into 20. And that was including like Domino's one time.
Well, yeah, it's like one time, it's like late Thursday night. It's like, oh, we forgot to do a pizza review. Domino's is on the way home to our house. We just stop in and pick up just the worst slice of pizza.
Oh, it was fucking trash.
I think we gave it like a 2.2.
Yeah, 3.1.
Like, which is what Domino's deserves, right?
True, right. I just remember getting out of class on Thursdays and hopping on the moped. Exactly. Even before that, in class, ordering the pizza for pickup.
Ordering the pizza, yep.
Man, people were – that was the beginning of our content creation.
I mean, so we had like the whiteboard in our house.
Yep.
And we had all the scores of all the pizzas. If you have like a picture of that on your phone, you got to find it so we can go back and recap them.
I might have a picture. It's not on my phone, but I might be able to pull that up somehow on my computer. I think every picture that's ever been on my phone at one point has made its way into my computer. So, yeah, that would be a legendary picture to post in the chat. Kevin and I, every Thursday, we'd come home and we'd review pizza. We were the budget Dave Portnoy's. That was the beginning of our content career. And if NIL was around, I bet we could have got ourselves a deal.
I mean, I definitely would have given a higher score for a few bucks in the back pocket.
We would have loaded a couple of those reviews on the front end. Like,
it's like, hey, I'm going to score your score baseline, right? Every 20 bucks in my pocket bumps you up a point.
Well, 0.1, yeah.
I bet there's some people that we got to go to some places based on our reviews.
100%. I know for a fact that multiple people would Snapchat me and go, saw the review earlier, and then they'd send a picture of the pizza. It was unbelievable. We were influencing. Just two kids with a dream.
Should have kept going down that route.
We could turn it into something. We could, you know what we could do? That would really limit our choices, though. I said we could both go get our own slice of pizza and then review it on the show. But
we got to be reviewing the same pizza.
Right. I know. Yeah. I know. seems too planned. Speaking of content or possibilities, let's talk quickly about, I know that we talked with Drake about if we could commentate or do something around the toolbox game, that he would come back. Well, there is an opportunity. I was hit up by the manager, who is an avid listener of us. He sent me a whole page of notes about how the walk-ons could be involved with the toolbox game this year. Listening. You and I, in the indoor, pre-game, pre-toolbox game, washed-up walk-ons meetup, selling merch, selling flags, and then potentially you and I commentating the game live broadcast over Facebook. I don't know whose Facebook account. I guess we could use ours. So there's potential here. They want us to be involved because it's a win-win. We get to have a meetup and do something cool, go back to the facility, watch the toolbox.
Managers get some fans for their game.
And the managers get an extra 50 or 100 people. I don't know how many of you crazy bastards would come out for that, but it would be the night before the Wisconsin game, Friday night, and you'd get to watch the toolbox game, which is epic. And Kevin and I have never gotten to see it because we were always in the hotel. You always just see like the Snapchat videos or the phone footage of it. And we'd also get to, you know, sell some flags on our end. And
stipulation. I got one request.
Okay.
I want to be able to raid the refueling station after the game. I want to take like 12 core powers home.
in a laundry bag?
In a laundry bag, yeah.
Preferably in a laundry bag, yeah.
Yes, that is my one stipulation.
We're gonna have to get Greg on board, but
maybe I think we could get a sandwich too.
Friday night, who knows how bare that thing will look.
Hey man, I've eaten some gnarly shit out of that refueling.
Because it was free? Yeah.
Oh hell yeah, man.
I've seen if you're
paying for food like our senior year, like you were just doing it wrong.
You're dumb.
Except for the pizzas on Thursdays.
You and I were basically saving every dollar of our scholarship check outside of the $630 that it costs to rent 337 Benton Street.
Wasn't it less than that?
Was it less?
Yeah, I thought it was like $1,300 total between three.
Oh, it was 13. It was, yeah, $1,350 at the end. So it was actually $450? Yeah, we weren't paying very much.
No, not much.
And that house was built in
1912,
I believe. Yeah, we looked it up.
1912.
Yeah, that thing, like two and years.
The roof came in on us.
A lot of things were not good. The basement scared the shit out of me. I would run downstairs, throw my clothes in the laundry, which this was maybe every like 6 or 8 weeks. And then run back upstairs like I was 4 years old because I turned the light off and the monster was going to get me. I was literally scared.
If I develop mesothelioma, it's definitely because of that basement. Thing was nasty. There was mold growing.
Mold out everywhere.
There was so much spider webs. The ceiling was about 5'10" tall.
I did not like that either.
Yeah.
Oh man, it just
smelled like an old
house. Have you seen Stranger Things?
No.
Okay. Well, I was going to make a reference. It felt like when you walked into our basement, down in our basement, it felt like you were going through the gate in Stranger Things for anybody who's watched that. I'm in season two. I've been knocking it out kind of at the end of the day. Lauren coaches volleyball. And so like in that last hour when I decided to stop working, I've done everything for the day and she's still not done with practice. I've been knocking out Stranger Things episodes. I am not a scary movie guy or a horror or, you know, that kind of thing. Stranger Things is just sci-fi enough and not like too far to the side of scary, at least through 1.5 seasons, that I thoroughly enjoy it. And I know I'm behind. I mean, the freaking t-shirt I'm wearing is I'm trying to make a buck around here. I tried to make the Stranger Things washed up walk-ons collab. Yeah,
we gotta pay for Drake's internet around here.
We gotta pay for a direct line out to Sunset Hill, Arizona. Good show. Brett Favre is
sketchy.
Yeah, I don't know what he's doing.
He's embezzling stuff better than you are. Well, he got caught.
So better or worse?
Not better than you.
Better or worse, you know? Turns you watch. There's
better is in a lot more than you.
Yeah, yeah.
Worse than that, he got caught.
Well, you gotta what's the saying? You gotta spend money to make money. I don't think it applies here.
No.
A wrap up on that Wisconsin conversation, Wisconsin game conversation. Any of you out there who may be interested, I don't know why I'm asking for this. If send me a DM or tweet at me, either personal account or Wash Up Walk-On's account, and sort of just tell me. I want to gauge interest on how many people would actually show up on Friday night around, like, I don't know, 7 or 8 o'clock and do a meetup. You know, you can take, I don't know why you'd want to take pictures or get autographs from me and Kevin. I mean, we are literally the most normal people that are on earth. But if you want to do that, we would do that. And then we'd all get to watch the Toolbox game, which is entertaining for sure. Send me your interest on that. Anyway, we're going to get you guys back to the show in just a second. But first, we want to let you guys know about our title sponsor, DRF Sports. ia.drf.com. I'll say it again, ia.drf.com, to sign up and start playing now and cashing in with DRF Sportsbook. They are Iowa's sportsbook. They are kind of like the walk-ons. They got that walk-on mentality. They're the little guy trying to make a name for themselves, and they're doing a hell of a job. We're helping each other grow each other's brand. They have some of the best sign-up bonuses, sign-up promos, deposit matches, you know, first bet promotions in the game. You're going to get at least one of those when you sign up, and you can start cashing in right now. You can also go visit the official DRF Sportsbook in person at Lakeside Hotel and Casino in Osceola. During the season as well, be sure to listen to our Thursday episodes, the preview episodes, where we will feature our walk-ons times DRF collabs, where we choose a bet each week to boost the odds and see if we can't all make a little green. Shout out to DRF for being an incredible sponsor, incredible people, and helping us here at the Walk-Ons. It was but 2 years ago when the Walk-Ons were searching for somebody to handle their merchandise. We found a company, we did our first merch run, and it all went down the drain because we found somebody that wasn't like AdCraft, that didn't operate like they do at AdCraft Custom Apparel and Merchandise. And thank God we found the people at AdCraft, because ever since then, since we started working with this beautiful company from Clinton, everything we've done has been smooth, has been fast, has been quality, and they take care of a lot of headaches that the Washed Up Walk-Ons, our brand, would otherwise have to deal with, and we don't want to have to think about those things. Their customer service, their warehouse staff, their design team, the speed at which they get things done, their ability to handle sports teams and companies and brands like ours. They can do it all, and if you have custom merchandise and apparel needs, or you just have an idea for a t-shirt that might sell a little bit, hit up AdCraft, adcraftwebstores.com. I promise, the walk-on promise, that you are going to be satisfied with what they can do for you. AdCraft, custom apparel and merchandise. It says here, text messages entered Monday into the state's ongoing civil lawsuit over the welfare scandal revealed that former governor Phil Bryant pushed to make NFL legend Brett Favre's volleyball idea a reality. First of all, the lengths people will go for their kids, right? This is all just so that his daughter could have a facility for like 3 or 4 years. Like a better facility at Southern Mississippi.
I mean, and the dude's loaded, right?
I saw somewhere that he like owes $5 million after all this, but he's worth $110 million.
Right. So like, you know, if you love your kid that much, you know, just write the check yourself, man.
You've got $5 million. If we're using the 4% rule here, Brett, you're making it back next year. Like, I don't know. I saw a funny, that actually kind of reminds me of a joke that I just saw on TikTok yesterday. It's like, I don't get conspiracy, you know, like I'm not a big conspiracy theorist guy, but, y'all just think the government's out there batting 1,000? Like, they're not hiding anything to you guys? Like, there's something that's going, you know, and it just makes me think of, like, people like this who are in government or have a bunch of money and how much shady shit goes on out there. It's a lot. You get into any of that, that striker, that big orthopedics shady stuff going on? Catch yourself in any of those situations yet?
No, man. We are a company of integrity. It's one of our core four values. So,
Is it?
Oh yeah, man. Oh yeah.
Okay. I bet.
Integrity, accountability, people, and performance, baby. That's what we're all about.
Look at you. You're a walking advertisement. Hey, by the way, if anybody's looking for a job and, you know, maybe wants to go into, you know, sales in the orthopedic industry, Kevin gets a little bonus for referral. So he's probably not going to pump that, but I'll pump it for him.
Come talk to me. Speaking of, Corey, my boss, actually wants to come on the podcast.
Your boss wants to come on this podcast.
That is correct.
Okay. I'm sure he's a great guy, but there's a lot of people that want to come on this podcast who have no fucking, this actually brings up a great point. I'm going to say something and I don't want our fans to take it the wrong way here, but I've been known to put my foot in my mouth before. And you know what? We haven't been canceled yet. Like Kevin said, somebody please cancel us so I don't have to keep doing this anyway. And it usually happens around the season because there's more hoopla and chatter about the team and all the stuff and the podcast and the show. You guys have great ideas. You really do. The problem is, this started with when Drake decided to leave the show for the season.
So 4 days ago?
Yeah, maybe last week when he started talking about it or whatever, threatening it. He said, I'm not going to show up. The day that he said, I'm not coming back to the podcast if this offense continues like this, from that day, let's call it 10 days ago, do you know how many messages I've counted? Do you know how many messages I've gotten from people who are our listeners who we don't know and who most likely it would be a massive stretch to just fit in with me and you on this podcast as a third host, text or message me and say, hey, you know, I'll come on and be the third host if you want. Like as a very nonchalant, like casual, trying not to like ask, but they're kind of asking, you know? Guess how many people?
I'm going to set the line in the last 10 days.
10 days.
20.
23 people. I've had 23 dudes.
And these are not just 23 people, you know, he's 23.
I don't know a single one of these 23. I've never met a single one of them in my life. And I appreciate every single one. I've told every single one of them the same thing. I appreciate you so much. And the fact that you want to like help and contribute to the show, but the way that our show works and kind of the genetics of what we are, it's just like, we're just not going to do that. Like this show is three friends. When Drake comes back, two friends talking about a shared experience that they had for 5 years as the core theme of the podcast, and adding someone who didn't play with us, who nobody knows outside of, you know, in our listenership. I'm sorry, but you provide no value to our show. Even if we had great chemistry and could have a couple great conversations to pump out a few episodes, it just wouldn't last.
I mean, yeah, if you're right, right. Like even if I like one of our best friends who we didn't play football with, it wouldn't work on this. Or if it was one of the guys we did play football with, maybe they're a few years older, a few years younger that we weren't best friends with, it still wouldn't work.
It still wouldn't work.
There's about six people on this planet that could be the third guy.
That's what I'm saying. Yes, exactly. There's to fit perfectly and our show would just keep going. No roadblock, right? Now, right. Maybe there comes a day where Kevin hits me up and goes, hey, I don't need you to pay for my internet anymore. And I'm like, what do you mean? And he's like, well, it's time I'm moving on. And I'm like, no, Kevin, no, I'll pay you extra for your internet. And he's like, I just can't do it anymore, man. And Drake's like, yeah, I'm out too. And I'm at that point, the washed up walk-ons becomes the washed up walk-on. And maybe I have to bring somebody on that doesn't fit the bill and the show turns into something else. But for now, as long as we can keep the show what it is, there really is, it may be a little bit more than six. Although the pool of people who actually would be able to do the show and show up consistently is probably like four to five or six people. It just wouldn't work. And it's not even just a bunch of people asking to be on the show as a third host or be on as a, you know, a common guest. There's a lot of people spitting out ideas for segments or this or that, or you guys should start up this show just like you started the live show. They're all great ideas, but we can only do so much. And there is something to diluting your content with, let's call that width, and not going in depth on the stuff that you are doing, right? We want to make the stuff that we are doing deep as we can. And if we spread ourselves so thin that we have 16 different shows, you know, and I'm doing 6 podcasts a day, I'm just like, we can't do it, you know? So that's what I'll say on that. As you guys know,
you're saying we're not going to spin off our own serial show.
Well, and that's – it's funny you actually brought that up, Kevin, because people loved the serial segment. People loved it.
People did love it.
I mean, you had – tell them about the – yeah.
I sent you guys the Snapchat today earlier. So as everyone knows, I had a little orthopedic injury earlier in the year. I tore my pec, my bicep.
Soft.
And my labor, you know. Requires a little bit of PT. So been going to PT for the last 4 months now. Gotten to know the guy pretty well. Big Hawk fan, right?
Of course.
Just started listening to the podcast. First couple episodes this week, he was driving out to Indiana. Listened to the Iowa State preview, and it was the South Dakota State recap and then the Iowa State preview. And I walk into PT today, and he's got a box of Raisin Bran and a box of Life cereal for me.
I mean, how stupid, right?
Oh, man. And he said, it's like, dude, that was so much fun. It was hilarious. I loved it. And to be honest with you, he was on my side. He's like, I was raised on these two cereals. They're great.
I will say this. After – You guys loved the cereal segment, right? I mean, hell, if we don't take this and run with it, we're horrible just brand people, because our first top five that we did was back in the summer, Kevin, and that was TV shows. And people loved that one, and that generated a bunch of conversation. Actually, we did a unofficial top five, which is where the whole Niall Kinnick conversation started.
Yeah, and it's going to remain unofficial because there's no – official top five on this show where one of the hosts does not have the person who the stadium is named after in their top five greatest Hawkeyes of all time. So that is going to remain an unofficial top five.
Again, if that is the top five greatest Hawkeyes, he's number one. And I've said that from the beginning.
Well, that was the prompt in the first place, buddy.
Well, then that's my answer. And there you go.
I think you're retracting your steps right now.
I'm not, because if we're talking best football players to ever come through the University of Iowa, I am not putting him in my top
conversation.
Players. Yes. Now, people love the cereal. We probably found out 200 or 300 top five cereals from all of you. And it's amazing. I heard some cereals that I didn't even know existed.
There were a lot of cereals mentioned that I didn't ever hear of yet.
Kev, I go every Monday to the fair. By the way, we're 32 minutes into the show. How much Iowa football have we talked about? Zero. Because
the exact amount that we wanted to so far.
The 100% the exact amount. I don't want to talk about it, and I hope that a lot of you have stuck around. I'm going to plug this episode as a no football podcast episode so that people will actually listen, because the numbers take a hit when the Hawks aren't doing well. And when all the stuff is negative. So we're trying to talk about other stuff. I hope we're entertaining. I think that the Kevin and Tyler show, this could go on for a long time. In fact, Kevin and I had a whole – now, we won't reveal the context, but Kevin and I had a whole mapped out media strategy of something we're very passionate about in college, where we were going to write 3 books, come out with a CD, an entire set, almost – it was – there was a lot of things going on.
Oh, man. It's going to happen one day. It's going to happen.
It will happen one day, and we will officially be canceled at that point. However,
you know, you're getting old, but like, I've actually considered, like, I should write a book. And I was like, about what? this is me talking to myself, like, about what? It's like, I have no idea, but I have ideas and I feel like they should be on paper and people should read them.
Dude, I'm not going to say that I don't think I've ever thought you should write a book. I guess egocentrically, egotistically, I hope that I live a life in the next 20 or 30 years that is book worthy. And then maybe someday down the road that actually happens. But I have in the last few years, whether it be in the form of journaling or like just thoughts that run through my mind, I have had the urge to be like, I should write. I should just write.
I think we're just getting old, man. I think that's just an old person urge to do. It's like
I need
to leave my mark on the world before I turn to crust and die.
I need to scribe this out. Somebody get me my quill. Unbelievable. Where were we going with that?
Top fives.
Top fives. Media. So here's the deal. We are old. Well, you're specifically old because of the fucking cereal choices. I tried to go out and buy Waffle Crisp. I wanted to taste it. I don't think it's a thing. At least Fairway doesn't sell it. I've heard that it's been discontinued.
I had never heard of it before.
I had never heard of it either. And you know what, Kev? So in the morning after my initial training session, I'll slam a PB&J, like a fat PB&J in the morning, just to get some carbs in and, you know, some fats as well. I think I'm going to switch to cereal because of our cereal conversation. And I'm going to rotate through a bunch of different cereals and just try some stuff that I haven't had before. I'm not going to try Life. I'm not going to try Raisin Bran because I've had both of those and they suck. But
it's debatable.
I'm gonna try some other stuff.
To me, cereal is a dessert. I love a bowl of cereal before bed.
Oh, dude. And a little blood sugar spike before bed, it'll put you to sleep.
Oh, yeah.
It'll put you to sleep. But here's the deal with the top fives. We're not stopping now, right? There's a million things that we could do a top five of. So guess what? I need your guys' suggestions. Send this to me in a DM, whether it be my personal account or the Wash Up Walk-Ins account. Send it over the Discord. Send it over the Patreon messaging system. Wherever you feel most comfortable, email me, right? Write me a letter. Have Hedwig deliver me a letter with your top five suggestions. Should we do whatever? Whatever, literally anything. Movies would be a big one since we did TV shows. Any sort of, you know, food categories. Obviously, we went with cereal first. We could do top five Hawkeye things. We're going to keep doing it because it creates conversation and engagement with y'all. We appreciate it. And we want you to share yours as well. We are murdering it. Dude, we're good at podcasting. 36 minutes and
We haven't talked about a damn thing, dude.
Pence or speechless at all. Let's see what else is on my left. Okay, we got the Brett Favre situation, Drake being an asshole and expensing his internet. That's literally what I put it down as. We got the toolbox game. Okay, how about this? Have you been ordering any cameos?
I have ordered a cameo in the past week.
Oh, it was you, Kevin. God damn it, it was you. I can't believe it.
What wasn't the cameos that we're talking about right now?
My wife just walked in with ice cream. Hi, wife. It's ice cream night.
Right there.
Yeah, it's
a woman bring you ice cream.
Yeah, well.
It is my best buddy from high school's bachelor party this weekend.
Oh, my God. Who did you get?
A cameo from one of the dudes that does funny golf content on Instagram.
Yeah.
And we sent that in the bachelor party group chat, and he was pretty stoked about that.
The funniest one was – please don't go search this, especially if you're under the age of, I guess 14, because you know who this guy is if you're 15 or older. But Johnny Sins, oh, no. He does cameos. And
how much? I'm going to buy one for my buddy now.
And he'll say stuff like, man, like, hey, Brad. Your friends want you to know that you've got the biggest dick on earth, man. It's incredible how you use that thing. I hope you like, and he'll just go into like, Johnny Sins is a porn star, an adult film star for those who are unaware. For the women just who are listening, just wait until your husband or so, you know, don't search it while he's in the room, but search it later and you'll appreciate it. Cameo's funny. In this case, Fran and old Coach Stoops got. And I don't know how they would have figured that out, because it's not like they said, hey, do this for Brian Ferentz. The whoever ordered those cameos just said, hey, we've got a friend Brian, talk about these certain points. And then in the context of the Hawkeye world, everyone makes the connection without actually having to do it. But what'd you think about that? I know you hated it. I'm sure you hated
it. Oh, I absolutely hated it. Not like hated it made me mad. It made me actually made me sad. I felt bad not only for I know Brian doesn't give a shit. He's got thick skin. Yeah, but
oh yeah, he probably thought it was funny.
I felt much worse for like Coach Stoops and for Fran McCaffrey.
Same.
Right. Like, yeah, like, oh, these guys are like probably like, oh, someone wants to pay me to send a video message to someone else. And
right,
just being made a joke of it.
Fran's doing it for the hospital. All
right,
of his,
exactly. Yeah.
Yeah. And like, you know, they have like a PR person or like a media person who's like, hey, we've got 10 more cameos to film tonight. Let's do these quick. And clever. I mean, whoever came up with it, clever.
Yep, they got them. They got them.
Smarter than I am. You know, that is 2022 modern day comedy right there. That is,
that's a troll job right there.
Unbelievable troll job. Respect to him, but also, you know, fuck you, right? Like,
yeah, right, exactly. Like, you know, good job. You accomplished your mission. If I knew who you were,
eat a dick.
Right, exactly.
Just woke up to those and I was like, are you kidding me? Like, this just can't get any worse, can it? Like, it can't get any worse. Do you think that I got a really good question? I'm on the Morning Rush here in Des Moines, a radio show every Tuesday, and I help, you know, I give a quick little 12 or 15 minute insight on the previous game. And I got asked the question, as I've gotten further away, and now I'm relaying this question to you, Kev, because I'm curious your answer, how you'll answer it. As I've gotten further away from the program, do I find that I am more critical / analytical openly about how the Hawks are doing, especially on our podcast and how we talk about things? And I said, yeah, I think I am. Mostly because we didn't have any personal relationships with anybody on the team now. So I don't feel like I'm talking shit on any of my boys, right? Even though we still share that brotherhood, we're now in a sense of like, okay, they understand that I'm on the outside and I'm an old washed up guy. I'm 28 and my knees hurt every day because I do CrossFit, and they're on the inside and they're the ones that matter. And we don't have a friendship that's going to get hurt by this. I'm just analyzing what I see. Versus the first year we were out,
we knew 90 guys on the roster.
Right. You talk about any play that happened or any game and you're like, oh, like I had dinner with them like 7 months ago. You know, like it's different. Now the coaches, some are the same, but they also kind of understand, and they would, you know, as long as we never took it anywhere close to where we've never gone before, I mean, Coach Woods and Coach Wallace, they text us all the time about how they're listening to an episode and think something's funny. So I said, yeah, I think I have gotten a little bit more open to being critical, which I felt a very strong sense to not be when we started this thing.
Yeah. I mean, so I'll jump in on my thoughts to echo yours for the most part. When we first started doing this, like it was the midway through our first season out.
Yep.
And you know, you could say like, oh yeah, the offense didn't play great or the defense didn't play great today,
which we still did.
Never call out anyone in specific.
Right.
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 Because like you said, those were our guys. Those were our friends. And rule number one is like, I almost treated like it was, we were still like talking to the media, not that.
Right. Yes.
Like, you don't talk shit about another teammate. And I think I've kind of continued that, you know, up until there's no teammates left for us.
Right.
So I know you caught some flack for when you were talking about
Amir.
Amir, right? You know, you commented about like how he's always had poor ball security, right?
Yep.
I think you caught flack for that because you were his teammate.
Correct.
If you were to say that right now about
no one would give a shit
or something like that, and if say like Arlen Bruce like always fumbled the ball or always had poor bar security, which he doesn't,
right?
But I wouldn't have a problem with that, and I don't think anyone would care because
right,
you were never that guy's teammate. You never shared a locker room with that.
It felt like when I said that about Amir, I was I don't know how to put it into words, but it felt like I was crossing a line that when your brother's with somebody, you just, even if it's true, there's no reason to cross it. Right. Now, do I regret tweeting that? Not a bit. Do I still believe that he had shitty ball security? Yes. Did he get cut because he fumbled a punt in preseason this year? Maybe. But I probably shouldn't have done it. I definitely should have thought about it before I tweeted it. That was probably the one time I've ever tweeted something where it was like, I probably could have just let that simmer for a second and just seen it, what it was going to do. But yeah, I thought that was an interesting question.
Now, I think everyone who listens to the show is like, we're still not going to just pile on a player and tell him shit.
We're pro Iowa football to the end, right? We're always going to be a program promoting show. There's always going to be a slight bias, even at the most least bias we could be.
Right. Like now I'm not going to straight up tell you like, hey, everything's great. Sunshine and rainbows come out our asses when we play on the field on Saturdays. But I'm not going to sit here and tell you, oh, this kid sucks. This kid sucks. Why is this kid playing and fire Brian Ferentz?
Right.
That's never going to be this show.
Right. We are often, you know, where I don't know where this season goes offensively, but we are often going to be the people in the media who people come to hear us defend, right? Or provide perspective on, hey, these are just kids playing a game, working their hardest. And we're still going to be those people because we were there. And that's why our show is different and we can provide that unique sort of angle. But I thought that was an interesting question.
I got a question for you that I was thinking about.
Okay, yeah.
On a scale of 1 to 10, how bad did losses hurt as a player versus now? Like 1 being, you know, I honestly don't give a shit. You know, I woke up in the bed and next morning had myself a great day. 10 being the locker room after the Big Ten championship.
Oof.
What was your baseline feeling after losing a regular season game as a player versus now?
Like an average loss, right?
Like an average loss. Like, you know, like 10 is like, man, ooh, I am not doing okay.
10 is Big Ten championship 2015.
Right, exactly.
1 would be like...
1 is like you literally just don't even care.
1 would be like the Iowa State game in 2014 for a very, very personal reason that I won't share on this podcast, but I was completely focused on something else that day. Do you remember that?
I know exactly what you're talking about. Yeah.
Okay. All right.
But hey, you know.
I know, right? We're here. baseline hurt from on a 1 to 10 scale for me as a player was a 7.1 or 2.
Okay.
And I'll say, and here's what, it might even be lower than that, somewhere in the sixes. It's hard because it's a weird scale to kind of think of the range of emotion there. But the reason it's not higher is because as a long snapper, and I think if you asked other specialists too, we feel very disconnected from the game already. It's a joke, right? We're not real football players. We don't really matter. Although if you watch the NFL this weekend, you might change your mind on that for the long snappers and the kickers out there. We're not athletes, whatever. I get it's a joke, but there is a little bit of truth to it, right? We do not have a huge effect on who wins or loses the game most of the time. I, as a long snapper, snapping 7 punts and 4 PATs or field goals, maybe 6 PATs or field goals during the course of a game, have a very, very, very decreased significance to Josie Jewell, who's on, out on the field defensively for 70 plays, right?
Right.
So I felt, and I almost approached the position this way because I had to emotionally connect, because a lot of the times that I was going on the field, we were not, it was not good, right? We got stopped. We got stopped and we had to kick a field goal, or we had to punt out of our own end zone because our offense couldn't move the ball. PATs were really the only happy time, right? So mine is probably baseline lower than yours would be, I assume. I'll wait to hear your answer. Now that I'm out of the program, almost non-existent. I don't give a fuck.
Really?
I'm talking down in the 1 point, somewhere between 1 and 2. And it's because I am not a – it. Here we go. Again, we don't know any of the players, right? I don't hurt for any of my former teammates because they're not there anymore. Any of the hurt that I feel is for those coaches who we were underneath. But I – and this may come to a shock as you, but you, the listener – I'm not a huge football fan. I am not, like, if you met me and my two brothers, you'd be like, wow, they love football. Like, they're betting on football all the time. They're keyed into not just football, but sports in general. And this is why you guys, like, the whole, like, oh, it feels like we know you because we've listened to 350 episodes. Like, there are times on Saturdays where if there's a good, yeah, I'm going to get so much shit for this. If there's a good Big Ten volleyball game on, I'm watching volleyball instead of watching a football game. Like, I'm not a huge sports fan. I just never have been. It was a means to an end because I could long snap. I know, Kev, it hurts. I know it hurts you. I could long snap, and that gave me a way through college. But man, I don't even have an NFL team that I really root for. And the only reason I really watch is because we have friends who play there and I got a fantasy team. But I don't give a shit about, like, the NFL. Like, you know, you're hurting, and I can tell. I'll give you the mic in 1 second. So for me, it was somewhere in the 6-7 range when we played because we were putting the effort in. The blood, sweat, and tears was there. And now, the other day at Iowa State, I gotta be honest, man, I didn't feel a whole lot. Now, and we have to also take into account that I have trouble with feeling sometimes. It's getting better now that I'm a soon-to-be dad. But those are my answers, Senator Ward. Oh, you're so hurt. You're so hurt.
What?
Tell me. Talk to me.
This isn't you giving in to your wife who wants to watch Big Ten volleyball. You want to watch Big Ten volleyball over Big Ten football on a Saturday.
It
nothing against volleyball, but
It depends. It depends. But if I'm watching, let's say it's in the conference schedule, and there's a game on that is no doubt I'm flipping back and forth, right? Just to, because we talk about it. So I'll, you know, and I'm interested a little bit. But if Wisconsin and Nebraska, or Wisconsin and Minnesota, or Penn State, like, so one of the, because they're dominant in the Big Ten in volleyball. If they're, or they're playing a team that's at a conference like Stanford or Kentucky or Louisville, Florida, I will have that on as my main channel. If there's a big time volleyball game going on over, you know, Ohio State playing Rutgers, right? Or now if it's like the game, right, in the shoe, then yeah, we're probably watching Michigan versus Ohio State, right? We're watching a bigger game. But yeah, man, I'm sorry, Kev. I'm sorry.
Well, we gave it a good run.
here we go. I never had to pay for internet anyway because he's leaving right now.
Okay.
Give me your numbers.
Yeah. What'd you say? 7-something as a player?
Mm-hmm.
Mine was towards the high 8s. That was actually something I probably struggled with as a player. Like, I took losses pretty hard.
Yeah.
To the point where, like, you know, fucking keeps you awake at night sometimes.
Here come the ladies are going to get aroused again because you're talking about accountability.
I'm not talking. I mean, I will say there's one night that the one game I started and played 80 plays was especially hard for me to take.
Northwestern or senior year?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I bet you were just tossing that night, huh?
Oh man, I wanted that one so fucking badly. But you do have a point. Like, the less you contribute to the game, the less you take it badly. Like, it still hurts because it's you and your teammates and your buddies
right
trying to win a football game. But the less you do wrong is the less you can feel bad about.
Right. So
if you snap the ball perfectly 10 times in your game and there's of the five punts, there are five fair catches. There's literally nothing more you could have done that game.
Yeah. You're right.
The more that goes wrong, the more you have to feel bad about it, the harder you usually take it. That's competitive athletes generally are pretty hard on themselves when they don't do things correctly.
For sure. And that was the case. When I snapped that ball to Ron and he did that weird like tumble because it was a bad snap in 2014. Hey, yeah. But when I snapped that ball high to Dylan against Northwestern or Indiana in 2014, and it went through his hands. We were winning the game by three touchdowns, but it went through his hands. It was Northwestern at home.
Yeah, we kicked the shit out of him anyway. I
felt bad about that. Didn't feel good. When I snapped it high to Connor Kornbrath in Minnesota at 2014, we got blocked. It got tipped. I did not feel good about that. And I didn't feel good about a lot of things in that game. That was definitely true. But now that we're out, what do you feel now?
Maybe it was just because it was Iowa State, man, but fucking, that one bothered me, man.
Iowa State hurt more.
Yeah.
It sucks. Dude, the Iowa State game specifically, I was giving you my average number of like 1 to 2. Iowa State is still up there at like a 6 or a 7 for me because when I see somebody, because I see it all, right? Facebook, people I have, friends of my mom that I know on Facebook, like it's a Cyclone State. Kill me. Hey, kill me. Take me back to the 22nd floor of the date of the JW Marriott in Indianapolis, bust that window open and send me out that window with nothing to catch me. That's how I feel when I see it's a Cyclone State.
Yeah. But, yeah. So, I mean that it, you could tell the tone of the podcast when we did it on Sunday and came out Monday. It's like feeling pretty bad. Right. I would agree. Like, you know, losing that game was like a 5-6, like, you know, feels bad. Right. You know, I can still move on with my day after that, but it's on the back of my mind. Right.
It leaves quicker because we no longer have responsibility in fixing it.
Correct. Now, unfortunately, I know I got to talk about it.
That sucks.
Yeah, it sucks. but like you said, right. We don't know any of the players anymore, but we know a handful of the coaches still, right?
Yep.
Like they're big in our development as young men. So
huge.
You know, really appreciate them for everything that they did for us. And I want them to see them succeed with their next batch of players. And
for sure. You know,
always want to see Hawkeye football in a good place. Right.
Yep.
So, I mean, it still bothers me. Enough. It's not high eights anymore. You know, Iowa State game was, like you said, probably 6, you know, still didn't like it. Normal game, I'd still say it's like 4.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. When the Hawks lose.
Yeah. It still sucks, but yeah, I purposefully maybe actively have worked on not letting it rile me up because I just don't stuff. And I've always been that way. You know me, like I love in my life to take the most logical and unemotionally attached stance or approach because I know that emotions like anger and frustration and sadness and a lot of those are often they're not good for anything. Right.
Yeah, but
it's easier said than done, but I'm pretty darn good at just like, if I start to feel those come on, I process them and then I just let it go.
Good for you. During the games, I am especially heated. Yeah, I don't know if you remember what I was like on the sidelines.
You're a psycho.
Right. It's only a tick down from that still.
Wow.
You can ask my girlfriend. She'll be upstairs like making snacks in the kitchen. I'll be downstairs in my basement watching the game. I'll pull a Phil Parker grin out of my ass, throwing pillows at the wall and shit. Mostly when the defense is on the field. I get pissed off when I see people mess up on defense.
Yeah. Okay. Well, somehow we've talked about no football for 59 and a half minutes. We got to end this thing. So let's talk about a couple things. One, the only thing I'm going to mention, here's our Nevada preview. Ready? Nevada is the worst team the Hawkeyes will play this year by far. They currently rank, and I get it, it's two games, 95th in total defense, giving up.
They've played three games.
They have played three games. So there's actually a little bit more. 95th in total defense. They are giving up 404 yards per game. That's not good, folks. That should bode well for an Iowa offense that you would think is another week healthier, got another week on tape. Let's hope, right? For our defense, not that we really care because we know our defense is going to suffocate them like they always do. They're even worse on offense. They're 10 spots worse. They're 105th in the country. Only 26 spots above the Hawkeyes in offense. And even when you're up, not even breaking the top 100, you're still scoring 336 yards a game, or not scoring, but gaining. So that's impressive. They double us on yards, over double us on offensive yards. They haven't seen a defense like ours yet. So if there was a game to find some type of rhythm and momentum, this would be the one. Kevin, any thoughts?
Yeah, first-year head coach. I know they had a ton of roster turnover. I think you see it. Saw KF's quote. He said, like, yeah, we don't really know much about them. It's like,
right.
I was reading in Phil Steele's season preview book that, like, half of their roster is new players from, like,
Yeah.
Not like you lose your – you know, your 15 seniors graduate, you have a couple guys go off the NFL draft and, you know, a dozen transfer, like half their roster is new.
Yeah.
That is turnover. That is absolutely incredible. I don't know how you form a culture out of that with a brand new head coach.
Probably don't have one.
Put a system in on defense and offense. Yeah. It's like, so yeah, I would expect we see a lot better performance out of the Hawks this weekend. I think the spread's climbed up to around 23.
I was going
to
say, do you see 23 points there?
It's not going to be in my top three picks that I give you. Okay. But I like the Hawks covering the spread this week.
Wow. That is – wow. Okay. So there you have it. And with that, we might as well get to it. DJ Kevin. Hey! Yeah. All I do is win, no matter what. We got Ward's winners in the house today. We're back for another week. Drake was trash last week. I wasn't much better, but the Kev dog went 3-0. So Kevin, hit us with your picks for this week, my guy.
All right. Oh, let's start it off and keep it in the Big Ten. We got Wisconsin, New Mexico State. Mm. Not a very flashy game. Not a couple of very flashy programs. It's not going to be a flashy game because they're going to score less than 46 and a half points in that game.
Okay.
So we got New Mexico State, right? Jerry Kill, first year coach there.
Yep.
They are scoring 8.3 points a game.
Wow.
Now the Hawkeyes are scoring 7, but.
Well, let's not talk about
New Mexico State scoring 8.3 points a game going against Wisconsin defense. Kind of like my Michigan pick last year. I am not expecting any offense out of New Mexico State this week. I think that game goes under
46.5.
Yeah. They're also only, their defense is actually okay. They're only giving up 27 points a game. That's not terrible.
Yeah. And Wisconsin's got a lot of
offense. Right. They only scored 2 touchdowns versus Wazoo last week. So I like the under in that game.
Yep.
Game number 2. We got Georgia. I'm going to lay the points. I have Georgia covering 24 versus South Carolina.
They're good.
Georgia's only allowed 3 points this season. You know,
decent.
decent defense, right? Right. South Carolina has given up 250 rush yards a game. I think that allows Georgia to dominate on the ground, as well as Stenson Bennett's been playing really well for the first couple games. So
yeah.
I like Georgia covering this big line. Number three, I lied to you. I like the Iowa Hawkeyes covering 23 points, baby. Let's go. Hawks by a million, brother.
I fucking lied. I gotcha. Wow, that is.
No, I think the Hawks bounce back big this week. I do. I know. I think we got Nico's back.
Yep.
Keegan, maybe, probably not, but I think the Hawks bounce back and take care of business.
Okay. The people are gonna like that pick, Kevin. People are gonna like it. I'm gonna quickly give Drake's picks because even though he is not on this episode, he still gave us his picks. Now again, 0-3.
Now, is just giving us his picks, is that worthy of paying for his internet?
No, it's not.
Because he can send those over SMS text machine, right? He doesn't need iMessage.
Well, he could probably – do they still have MSN Messenger? He could probably get us to it that way too if he could find dial-up internet somewhere. Well, dial-up, he could go connect into a line somewhere that wouldn't cost much. Drake's picks this week are the Bear. I don't know who any of these teams play, but I'm just going to say them out. Bears plus 11.5. Bears looked better than a lot of people thought in week one.
Bears beat up Niners team with a first-year starting quarterback in the monsoon, man. I wouldn't put a whole lot in the Bears. Who are the Bears playing?
Well, he's got Bears plus 11.5.
Versus the Packers in Green Bay. Yeah, actually, I like that one too.
That's a big NFL line.
That's a big NFL line.
Minnesota. The Vikings plus 2.5. Do you know who they play?
The Vikings are going to play the Eagles on Monday Night Football in Philly.
All right.
I don't know about that one.
Then he has Tampa minus 2.5, who took care of the Cowboys in week one.
Tampa is going to the Saints. He's picking all road teams.
Wow. Okay. There's Drake's pick.
Bad rule of thumb.
Yes, correct. My picks for the week. Fox Big Noon Kickoff, their version of game day, is in Lincoln, Nebraska this week. I bet that they were hoping that Nebraska would look a whole lot better than they would. And I think that they probably thought that Nebraska would have a real head coach at this point in the season. They do not. Scott Frost got fired. We talked about it on last episode. Oklahoma currently sits as a 10.5 point favorite. I think Oklahoma is going to beat the shit out of Nebraska. I think, you know, the interim head coach, he took away the black shirts this week. Took them all away. He said, you guys haven't earned them. And he's right. They are not doing great defensively against two teams that are probably not going to finish in the top 20, 25 teams offensively, Georgia Southern and Northwestern. They're giving up like 60 yards a game. Give me Oklahoma minus 10.5. Now, I don't know anything about Syracuse, and maybe this is my mistake, but Purdue plays Syracuse this week, and it's almost a pick 'em. In fact, Syracuse is minus 1 on most sites that I see right now. Give me Purdue to cover that and just win the game. Because, unfortunately for Iowa fans, while you have to watch a shitty offense in Iowa City, you also have to watch one of our former weapons get the same amount of yardage by himself over in West Lafayette. So give me Purdue to win the game against the Syracuse Orange. And then give me this. I have to switch over to the what do you know off the top of your head what that Iowa over-under was? The total. Here we go. The total. This is where the silence eraser is going to come in handy. Oh, let me find it. If you're still with us, by the way, we love you guys. An hour and 10 minutes into this podcast. Of course it's at the bottom because I was playing at night. Are you serious right now? Iowa Hawkeyes versus Nevada. It currently sits at 39.5. Give me the under, baby. Give me the under.
Bet it until it misses.
I think, in a multiple people have said this in the Discord, bet that thing until they prove that they can beat it, even if they win by 23 points.
It's, you know, I'm saying it's very possible that they cover and it still goes on.
And still go under. This thing could very likely be 27-3, you know?
I mean, 24-10. I'm capping Nevada at about 10 points.
Maybe.
Do the Hawks score 30?
Probably not. So give me the under. Give me Oklahoma to cover. Give me Purdue to cover. Those are my three picks. And finally, the walk-ons DRF boost of the week, picked by Kevin this week, is... Go ahead.
Are you going to say it or what?
Texas. And who was it? UTSA?
Yep. The Roadrunners, baby. I'm liking points in that game. Give me over 60.
We're going over 60. We will have the graphic up when this comes out tomorrow. And those odds will be boosted for that line or for that game to go over. We want points, points, points. The overs club. Let's go. That's all we have. Kevin and I somehow went 70 minutes in a preview podcast where we talked 3 minutes about the actual game. Give us all of those suggestions for what we asked for. If you're interested in extra content and listening to these episodes without advertisements, and also donating to the Children's Hospital while getting merchandise discounts and a whole bunch of other stuff, check out our Patreon, patreon.com/washedupwalkons. Go to thewashedupwalkons.com. Go to hawksbymillion.com. Go to our YouTube and subscribe to our YouTube. We're about to hit 2,000 subscribers on there.
Hey,
let's go. Let's go. Follow our Instagram. Follow our Twitter. Thank you guys for listening. The walk-ons are out. Hopefully, Hawks grab a win and we can talk about a victory on Sunday. Until then, peace.